What's up, everybody? It's DC Incentives. Today I'm hosting. It's TC. I got Claire Bear with me.
Hi.
You know, Diamond is here. He just don't want to show up. Anyway, we have a guest today. You guys introduce yourselves.
I'm LaQuanya Goodman, otherwise known as LaQuanya G from Sunday School.
Chuck Finance in the house. Getting ready to spread the knowledge.
Okay. Can you guys please tell more about yourselves?
Sure. So I am a single mom of twins and, you know, young black living in America. You know, we kind of start off as a deficit in finances. And just in general, it was always information that I wanted, but I never really had guidance or nobody to tell me what to do or how to do it. During the pandemic, I ended up getting hooked up with Charles. I got hooked up with Charles through some classes that he was having on Zoom on Thursday nights, and he was just teaching us information about how to build generational wealth, how to fix your credit, how to learn about taxes, and it really just changed my life, and I wanted to make it available for other people, so I started a Sunday School platform.
Love it.
Nice.
Love it.
All right, Chuck here, National Certified Financial Literacy Instructor. I understand the game of money, and I always share it with people, so I break it down and make it real simple for an 8th grader to understand what money's all about.
Okay. And we have even more guests here. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Juliet, and I'm from Brooklyn, and I am starting a candle business. I'm here for all the information, networking, and new friendships. Yeah.
Just like me.
Yeah.
And we have our next guest. Introduce yourself.
Okay. Peace and love, Brother Talib from Brooklyn, New York,
Bed-Stuy.
And just here to, you know, fellowship and absorb all I can from this man right here. With good financial literacy that's pretty much to get us back to where we need to be financially.
Okay. So one of the biggest questions for both of you guys, what really made you guys really want to like spread the knowledge to everybody? To know about financial literacy, like what started that?
Like I said, I just started learning things, but also just growing up, and especially in Bed-Stuy, right? Bed-Stuy used to be a black utopia when I was growing up, right? Most of the families there owned their homes, they owned the businesses, and then the crack epidemic happened. I do call it epidemic because it was a sickness that wiped out everything, and I literally remember how my neighborhood changed. It was like from one season people were thriving and the next people were dying and people out in the street selling their things and, you know, their parents left them homes. But then a guy come around with a suitcase full of money and it's $50,000 and, you know, you got some issues or whatever. You never seen this kind of money before and yeah, you're selling your multi-million dollar house, right? And then within my own family, people passed away. We owned brownstones and they didn't leave wills and we were in probate court and we're fighting forever. And it's just like, why are we always in this cycle of not having or that we had and we lost? Like, what's missing, right? So that's kind of how I started seeking it for myself. I didn't want to make the same mistakes that my family made. And then also within my family, no one was trying to teach me, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like my blood family, they weren't trying to teach me how to get a house, how to maintain a deed, or maybe they didn't know because they ended up losing it anyway, either when they passed away or when they got older, they didn't take care of their retirement funds. So that's what this is all about. Like, how do we stop this? Like, how do I stop it so that my kids aren't living in deficit, right? Because we kind of start out in a deficit. We're already like 300 years behind in a generational wealth gap in general, just being born and being black. So what can I do that my kids don't have to start from the bottom like I did? Because I think we do too much of glorifying struggling in the black community, starting from the bottom. I don't want to start from the bottom.
Yeah. Right.
I want to start from the middle. How about the top, right? Because that means I got to climb. I don't want my kids to get it out the mud.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to get it out the soil. You know, so right. That's what's prompted me to start this.
Okay.
You know, one thing that resonated with me with what you said is financial literacy, right? A lot of times, I can speak for myself, you don't know a lot about financial literacy unless some type of trauma event happened, and then that's when we want to learn. But
right. When it's too late.
Exactly. And it's like, how do we learn about financial literacy before that happens? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, how do I educate my family? How do I educate my kids about these things?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I started the platform, because it wasn't good enough for me just to have the information, because my family don't listen, right? My family don't come on Sunday school. You know, they don't want to be broke, but they don't want to do the work. to not be broke, right? And that's the thing. So you kind of already come in being discouraged, because even the way they set it up, they make it seem like it's so unattainable for us. And what drew me to Charles was the way he broke it down was like, not only is it not unattainable for us, it's easy. It's easy. But we just don't know where to start. So I wanted like silver and gold to own. And I was telling Charles this, like, a guy I knew how to do it, but I had to date him, right? Or I had to be his woman in order for him to teach me. So you're not really teaching me how to fish, right? If I gotta wait on you, right? I want to fish for myself. So what I liked was Charles was teaching us all these things, and he didn't want nothing. He just wanted us to get it. He got pissed when we wasn't taking what we was, you know, he was teaching us, because he's passionate about it. So it was an opportunity for me to learn, and nobody wanted nothing from me. They just want to see me prosper. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of those things here.
We don't.
Very true. We don't.
I to answer your question, there was, as a historian, I saw a lot of my elders make transition, and these are the smartest people in the room of their craft, mm-hmm. of their profession. And in their transition, we had to pass a hat to raise funds to bury them. And that bothered me, because I'm like, wait a minute, these are the smartest people in the room, mm-hmm. but when it comes to their burial, we have to raise money. I have a problem with that. Now, these are the people who wrote the books. And so I'm like, wait a minute, why aren't they capable of understanding their finances? So the same skills that they taught me when it comes to studying African history, I started applying that to money. So in the process of studying money, I started understanding the game of money, and I started understanding the things that are not taught to poor people. Wealthy people teach their children different from poor people teaching, poor families teaching their children. So when I started understanding the game of money, I said, okay, now I got it, and I don't have it all, right. but I'm always constantly learning. So I said, okay, let me take this and give back to our community so that they can understand this whole money game, so that they can start building intergenerational wealth. And that's what the key. So that answers your question to why I do what I do. So, yes, thank you.
Any questions? Yes. Yes. Any questions? Any questions? Y'all can talk about any questions. Yes. any question. Ask away. Anything you want. Anything.
I just wanted to state, like, I didn't have a question, but I have been going through YouTube channels and trying to get financial information. And there are courses, and people are charging you. And you don't really have the resources. You don't have the resources, and then you get caught up in a situation that you're trying to get out of. And these mostly are your people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it bothers me. It really bothers me. But I was cautious. Like, I didn't go into anything, and it was like a divine intervention for him to show up on Black Nubian. I don't know if I can say that.
Yes, you can.
Say
yes,
you
can.
You
don't have to censor yourself.
No filters.
No filters. No censorship.
Not on this podcast.
Yeah. Yep. So I watched. I watched him on Fly Nubian Queen, and was amazed with the information. First of all, this is a friend of mine from 10 years old. We lived in the same building for many years. So to see him, I just was like, what, how come, and why don't I, where is he? So I went and found him. It took how long? About a year to find him. Because he would disappear.
You want to see when I'm gone.
Yeah, but I'm appreciative of all the information that I'm getting, and I wish more of us would try to help other people that are not as fortunate. Like, I can't give you $300-$400 for this course. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then what are you getting from it, right? Exactly. So they're giving you information, but they're giving you steps on how to implement it. Right, so a lot of times, like, we drink poison because we're thirsty. So they feed off of that. They know you want the information. They kind of prey on our community because they know we're not getting readily resources. So then they're going to come out with these things. They're going to tell you, oh, you can do this. You can get your taxes, blah, blah, blah. It's $800, and you pay it. But then what happens afterwards? Are they counseling you? Are they trying to tell you, well, what steps did you take? Did they hook you up with anybody? So it's like, if you're not really looking into what your money is going to, you're being swindled again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, it's I just wanted to say, yeah, it's very necessary that we, you know, we have this and we're able to come back into who we are. Just a question of curiosity. I got a question. I got a statement. Want to know what is your outlook on cryptocurrency? And because I'm still kind of, you know, dipping my toe in the water with that, the realm of the unknown. And I just wanted to say that this beautiful thing that we have this sanctuary, this financial sanctuary, to where we can, you know, absorb this good, this knowledge that, you know, that was so necessary, that is deprived from us, hidden from us, by design, yeah. And
by design.
They do that to keep us nice and dumb. They have all these things. They teach you, yeah, go ahead, get the Hennessy. Yeah, go ahead, get some strip club adventure, you know. Yeah, get that marijuana, you know.
Yeah, get this new TikTok routine.
Yeah, right. You guys are getting all this nothingism, but when it could do this right here, you know, they won't even, this is invisible, because it's not emphasized upon, and it's necessary in this community, just like you said. You know, keeping a home, knowing the trust, the deed, we have, you know, how to bury proper, what you call it, legal, that's not the right word. Your life insurance, things of that nature. These things are imperative.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, we're not even taught to look at that kind of stuff. Until, only time you look at it is when you have no choice.
Yep.
And you have your back against the wall, somebody passed, or somebody is in a danger zone of losing their house, or home, brownstone, blah, 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 what have you. Then all of a sudden, this becomes important, and we got to have this to where this is the normal protocol.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful that we have this financial sanctuary to where we can have a nice consortium of how where we can come back into the fold of finances and be financially literate and financially mature to be able to navigate out here. That's pretty much
it. Excellent. Everything you said was excellent. What we have a tendency of doing is, I heard someone say something that people don't change in good times, they change in bad times. So when the crisis is there, it's like, how do we get out of this crisis? So what we have to learn is from others. So if someone else is in a crisis, you have to say to yourself, what if that happens to me? So let me prepare to make sure that if that were to happen to me, at least I've done something to make sure to mitigate the damage and the losses to me if that were to happen. So that's one thing, and that's key. And you're absolutely correct in everything you say. Now, when it comes down to your question about cryptocurrency, my views on cryptocurrency, and let's be clear, these are my views, is that we have to look at the value of cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency is based on supply and demand and the value of what people perceive it is. So now, you can have a cryptocurrency, but if no one values it, no one's going to buy it. No one's going to mark up the price because we're looking at supply and demand. So now, if the cryptocurrency has value to it and everyone thinks it's valuable, more people are going to start purchasing it. So therefore, supply and demand, what's going to happen is the lesser the cryptocurrency is, the more expensive it's going to become. So we have to look at that. Now, I want to be crystal clear that these are my views and these are my terms that I think about when it comes to cryptocurrency. So now, my question when it comes to cryptocurrency is, if I were to liquidate my cryptocurrency, where is the money coming from? And that's key. And I want people to understand this. So people get upset at me when I talk about cryptocurrency because, again, when I look at it, I'm thinking, if my cryptocurrency just went from $20, my initial purchase, to $800, if I wanted to liquidate, where does the actual funds come from me to be able to liquidate to get my $800? That's the key. Now, here's what's going to happen, and I know this for a fact. If people were to do what's called a run on the bank for a cryptocurrency, they're going to shut down because the money is not there. And that's what people have to understand. So there are two things. There's your value on paper, and there's actual the value when you liquidate. And that's what people have to take a look at. So now, on paper, you're worth X amount of dollars, but when it comes down to liquidation, you're going to be surprised that it's not there, it's not worth that much, because what's happening is there's a sale of what you're trying to get rid of. That's my value on cryptocurrency. I'm not saying that there is no value to it. The value is based on the people, the supply and demand, and the want, and the perceived action of this is actually going to cost X amount of dollars. So that's what I look at. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, like I said, the realm of the unknown.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you look at GameStop, if you look at what happened at GameStop in December, what the people, the quote-unquote experts said that GameStop is going to tank, but the people decided that they were going to push the price of GameStop. Mm-hmm. So they started purchasing GameStop. So in that process of purchasing GameStop, the price went up. So it went up so much that the exchanges said, we have to shut this shit down. And that's what they did. Because we cannot pay this money out. Let's be real. That's exactly what happened. So what does that mean to tell you? That tells you that, again, the powers that be, they're giving you a perception of the value of what this is, but when it comes down to the actual liquidation of the value, it's not there.
Yes, so someone that's starting out with financial literacy or they're trying to have financial freedom, someone brand new, right, like myself, what suggestions would you provide to them that they should start out with? Someone that may not know a lot about finances, because what I was taught was go to college, get your college degree, and work this job, but that doesn't necessarily provide financial freedom because you are exchanging your time for money. So if someone that's new starting out, like, how would you suggest them to, like, get their foot wet?
You join Sunday school.
That's one thing.
Every second Sunday.
Every second Sunday of the month. Well, Sunday this month school. We're going to do the third because it's Mother's Day, the second Sunday.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
That's one thing. Also, your mindset. So if you're already looking to seek financial changes, that your mindset is already different. So the battle's kind of half won there. A lot of times our mindset is what's blocking us, right? Mm-hmm. So another thing is, what's your goals? So I'm noticing that everybody wants to get rich, but what does that mean? Because there's a lot of people, you could hit the lottery, right? And you could win $10 million. But if you have a poor mentality, right, a poor mindset, you're going to be broke, right? Because you're going to always have a mindset to spend more than you're making. So let's look at, I'll give my age away, but let's look at MC Hammer, right? When I was like the early 90s and mid 90s, he had millions of dollars. He had a horse race. He had stables. He had all these houses. He didn't need none of that shit. He was trying to take care of everybody because he was finally rich. And he wanted to take care of everybody. And now he don't have nothing to show for it. But then when he bought the $10 million house, they didn't tell him about the taxes, about the maintenance, about the pool, about the staff. Nobody told him about that. So is it his fault that he mismanaged his money? He did not know, right? So similar to what you said, sometimes we got to get hit in the head and go down and then, now we want to figure it out. But all times we don't. So if you want to start with finances, start with your goals. What does success mean to you, right? Maybe you want to be rich, or maybe you just want to buy a house, or maybe you want to have a car with no debt. Whatever your goal is, that's what you should start with, right? Mm-hmm. Because success means something different to different people.
Okay. And remember, there are levels to this. So what happens is, I want you to look at it this way. I have no money. I hit the lottery. Now I have $10 million. If I have no money and I hit the lottery, I have not been taught how to manage that $10 million. I haven't been taught. So what am I going to do? I'm still going to act like I have no money. So what am I going to do? I'm going to spend it. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to do all the things that a person who has no concept of financial literacy. So now the difference is, what we have to look at is, how can I grow to be able to make the money that I have grow for itself? These are things that have to happen. But that all comes into a change in peer group. That change comes in change with the mentality. One of the things that we have to also understand is that acknowledging that we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. Understand that. So now it's like, okay, you know what? I have a child. I don't know what I'm doing. I must go to someone. If I want to be a good parent, I must go to someone who's a good parent and learn from them. Just like with financial literacy. If I come into a whole bunch of money, I should go to someone who is financially literate to help me make sure I maintain what I have and all that's to it. If you look at the records, a lot of people who hit a high percentage, who hit the lottery, within 3 years they're broke. Mm-hmm. Why? because they haven't been taught how to manage. When you look at sports athletes and all of that, when you look at the money that they receive after they finish playing or whatever, you find that 2-3 years later, they're broke. After all these millions of dollars, it's because no one sat them down or they did not choose upon themselves to say, you know what? I need to learn and understand the game of money. And that's where Sunday school comes in and all the good stuff and what we teach and all that.
It is a game. Money is a game.
Money is a game.
Money is a game.
Yes.
Any questions you can ask around? Any questions, everyone?
I have a quick question. Earlier you mentioned goals is a goal is to be financial free in 2 years. And you said like collect things that will protect you such as assets. Like,
yes.
Can you elaborate more on that?
First off is you have to find out what is your financial number. Mm-hmm. So simply what that means is every month you spend a certain amount of money to live out your lifestyle, whatever that number is. So what you want to do is you want to take that number and you want to say to yourself, what assets or what things can I invest in that's going to give me an income that's going to happen every single month so that I can stop working. So now, if my financial liabilities per month is, let's say, $3,000, I have to figure out certain avenues or certain investments or certain things that are going to bring me $3,000. So now, those assets are pouring into my expenses, so now I don't have to worry about my cable bill, I don't have to worry about my rent, because my assets are pouring into that and they're paying that. Now I'm living financially free. Now remember, I'm looking at, let's say, $2,000. What if it's $3,000? You have to think on another $3,000 scale. One of the things that I learned is that a person with $2,000 problems don't have the same problems as a person with $20,000. Mm-hmm. You see? So what happens is it's an exponential and it's a growth thing, because one of the things that I teach is if you can't manage $100, you can't manage $1,000. Mm-hmm. You can't manage $10,000. And I'm not saying you have to live outside of your comfort zone, but you have to be aware of your comfort zone, and you have to say to yourself, this is not working, I'm spending more than my income is, I have to figure out how to manage this, because once you start doing that, you're capable to, and you learn certain things. Prime example. There was an example where I get a phone call, and there was a situation where someone was in major trouble. They had made a sizable investment into a project, and the person disappeared on them. Major investment. So they was like, you know, Chuck, this, that, this, and that, this, and that, and this, that. And I'm like, you know what? The problem is that you did not have me at the table when this deal was going through, because I would know what questions to ask. They were dealing on a level higher than their financial level. Mm-hmm. See, when you're at a higher financial level, the questions are different. And the things are different when it comes to understanding. So now, they were lost out and they were asked out, and I felt bad for them because I couldn't do anything for them. The deal was done. So that's what we're looking at. So when we're looking at money management and being financially astute, knowing that, you know what, if I'm going to invest this amount of money, there are certain things, protections that we have to make sure that it happens, to make sure that I protect my principal that I put on the table.
Okay, thank you for that. You have a next guest. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi. My name is Maurice Prosper, and I definitely agree with what Mr. Clark is saying. Basically, I'm going to use myself. I always use myself. Whatever I have income-wise, I don't like to do overtime. I don't do overtime. I don't work weekends because I need this. I need my mental. So whatever I have, that's what I use. So let's just say I make $1,000. We'll just say $1,000. That's basically it. I don't go above, because then I'm not living within my means. And the thing is that you want to take some money, put it aside. Every pay period, you have your utilities, your rent, and all that. But basically, you want to take some money to put aside every pay period. Mm-hmm. Something. Because, you know, you're going to have your necessities, and also you may want to do other things, but your basic thing is to put some money aside, and you can invest. Like Mr. Clark has introduced us to gold and silver. Gold and silver. He has brought us down to the Diamond District, and I have purchased with Ms. LaQuanya. We have purchased silver, gold,
and my babies.
And I was just getting ready to say that. And I it was a wonderful experience to see mother and child, and Ms. LaQuanya introducing her children to this, because that is the future, and that's what we want. We want our children to follow in these footsteps. These are the good footsteps that we want, and so. They were excited, and I never discussed this with LaQuanya, but when your son took out his money out of his pocket, I was like, oh my gosh, because you didn't give it to him. You may have given it to him before, I don't know, he may have earned it allowance-wise, but when he went into his pocket and he spoke to the gentleman behind the counter and paid for his silver, I can't remember if it was silver or gold.
It was silver he bought.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
that
like,
was his budget.
I was amazed because that is what it's supposed to be like. That's a, we have, besides LaQuanya and her kids, that comes to my mind, there's a young lady. I'm bad with names. I'm so sorry. There is a young lady that is in the other room right now. She has two children, and she brought her daughters to this event. And we want to see that because the children are the future. The thing is that it's all about following in the footsteps of your parents. Visual. Because me, I'm a visual person. I love the arts. So when I see something, whatever Mr. Clark or Mr. LaQuanya teaches me, I'm like, okay, I could see it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing about them is that we're big, I was speaking to some about journals. Okay. Anything that you learn, okay. You can pick up a journal anywhere, the Dollar Tree, wherever, General Dollar, write all this down. Oh, yeah. Write everything down because you know what? It's good to go back. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just thought of another person. Oh my God, I got a brain fart. My goodness.
Naima,
oh my goodness, she's another one that is showing her children the path to the future. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want, because those are the ones that are going to lead the torch to the future and show, we want that. Mm-hmm. We want the next generation. So, but I, this is the anniversary of
Sunday school,
and also I'm thinking, this is Financial Literacy Month. I wanted to say that in there, but I forgot. I have it on my page. But and the reason why I'm aware of that also is because of Mr. Charles Clark. He had spoken to me about that a few years back in April. So April, you should post Financial Literacy is green, because green, money.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I posted something on my page, and it's basically what to do, tips. Because you know what it is now, people are going through crisis, different financial difficulties. But I think about what my father said. Even if you save $10, $20, mm-hmm. at least you're doing something.
Yeah.
So think about April, Financial Literacy Month, save whatever you can. You could put it, what was it? The tin cans? The tin cans Charles had introduced us to, mm-hmm. right? It could be what are those cookie boxes? Those butter cookies? Those you know what I'm talking about?
The big, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can put that.
Oh,
you store it. We don't say save. We say store. You store your money. And that's basically it.
It's a better ring to it.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's Mr. Charles Clark. I just want to say congrats to the first year to mm-hmm. yes. Mr. Quanya, Mr. Charles Clark, and many, many more.
Thank you. We made it a whole year.
Yes. I just want to say, you know, you guys are doing. Thank you. I just want to say you guys are doing a very beautiful thing for the community, and the point that you guys are doing this for free is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, because now other people too is not going to spread the word. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need out here, especially for our community.
Right.
just want to say that.
Right, and what you guys are mentioning is so profound, even with myself. What you guys presented today is like, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of things I have to
unlearn if I want to get to financial freedom. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the way that I was raised was work that overtime so mm-hmm. you can get to your goal. Mm-hmm. Get yes. that college degree.
Get that pension. Work that so right. you go, yes. get your pension.
Right.
If you make it to retire.
If you make it to retire,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then enjoy your life at 65 exactly. and next thing
yeah,
you can't
and then, or you drop, right? Because you've been working so hard all the time.
Exactly.
No, I enjoy my life now, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get on that flight. I'm bringing my kids. We travel. Yeah. And I didn't start traveling when I had money. I had the will to do it, so I found the way, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, once we have that type of mentality, we have a will to do something, like you say, you have the mentality to want to do better financially. Maybe you've seen some things in your family, seen some things in your friend. That's the battle half won. Because a lot of times what stops us is our mentality.
Right.
You know, yeah. we want things we don't want to work for. Right? Mm-hmm. We're like a microwave kind of generation. Everybody wants something quick. Nobody want to do the work.
No. Yeah.
The microwave syndrome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Correct.
Anybody else got any questions?
No, I'm ready to get back to the party.
Okay. I have one question.
All right. Just
one quick question.
I'm confused because I invested with Cash App, so am I not supposed to invest with?
Okay.
You guys were like,
no, don't see. I'm going to talk about Cash App. I got a little personal story with Cash App. Again, it's about your personal goals. Not everybody's success is the same. I started out with doing investments in Cash App because I didn't really understand it.
Right.
Now, the pandemic happened. A lot of people had just extra money because you just wasn't out spending money. So I was like, oh, I got a couple $300 I could throw into this. And I was studying in Intuitive Surgical, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I figured, I don't know nothing about stocks. I'm just talking about common sense stuff. All right, well, Corona's happening. People are going to the hospital. People are dying, unfortunately, right? How can I capitalize off this? Because that's how the rich think,
yes,
right? How can they capitalize off of whatever's going on? Tragedy, triumph, whatever. So I invested in Intuitive Surgical because I knew they're going to need surgical supplies. So I did that March or April of 2020 on Cash App.
Mm-hmm.
On Cash App. I think I paid like $300 for 2.5 shares or something like that. I watched it mature for like a year and a half. I was able to cash it out and I paid my car off early, right? And now I don't have a car payment. Now, here's a flip side of that, right? We're talking about doing more with your money. I was already used to paying this amount of money every month for my car for like the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I reinvested that money into something, I wasn't going to miss it anyway. I've been paying this for the last 5 years. So what I did was I took that money, I split it 50-50, and I have an investment account for my kids. Article Rule of 72, which was the first thing that got me started, which that's what made me jump out of my seat, right? Now, the thing about Charles is he didn't give me the information right away. But it was a buildup. It was a buildup. So after about being with him for a year, my opportunity to input my Rule of 72 came in. I was able to start investing for my kids. I found I went Navy Federal, and they have like a 10.4% interest rate on these custodial accounts. Boom. My kids are going to be really well off before they're 25.
Very well.
My mom didn't have that for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to start from the mud. I had to start from mistakes. Bad credit. So what happens when you come into these college campuses, right? They got Discover out there. I was always wondering, why the hell they want to give these kids with no jobs credit cards? But I got one,
mm-hmm.
and we was going to the summer gym in a limo.
Yes.
We ain't had no job, right? And then me and my friends still talk about, yo, we've been paying for that until I was 30.
Yes.
We got it at 19, a $500 limit. We've been paying that until our 30s. We didn't understand it. We didn't understand it, so that's what we're here for. Try to take away those mistakes, you know?
I'm grateful for Sunday school.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's a set of videos on YouTube. Her name is Van Oxley. I think it's Van Oxley. She did a set of videos, and she's a financial literacy instructor. And she was in Canada. She was actually financed by a bank in Canada. And she said that she had to quit the show because the things that she was teaching about financial literacy, the bank used to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to tell her what she could not say.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that she wanted to teach about financial literacy, the banks were like, you cannot talk about that because it was funded by the bank.
Mm-hmm.
This show was funded by the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So when she was talking about, you don't need to have this amount of money in the bank, you're only supposed to have this amount and other things are going to other avenues. The bank was like, we don't want you to talk about that. We don't want you to teach that. We want you to teach that we want all your money to go into the bank. So I, in essence, what we're learning is that, as I said earlier, there's an inside knowledge information and there's an outside knowledge information. And what I've learned is that this, I am a financial literacy instructor, and I know what it's taught when it comes to financial literacy. When it comes to what's being taught, they're not teaching wealth building. I'm teaching wealth building. So now, what financial literacy will teach you across the board is this. You start with your children, you start with them with the savings account. So if my child is 8 or 9, I'm setting up a savings account for that child. So it's teaching them good skills, good stewardship, blah, 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 blah. But what they're not telling you is that that little money that my child is investing and saving with, the bank is doing something called fractional lending. So what the bank is doing, they're taking that little mini pieces of dollars that my child is investing in, and the bank is actually investing and getting a return at a higher rate. So if I am taking my child who's 10 years old and open up a savings account for them, the bank for the next, let's say, 10 years is making so much money off my child through fractional lending and understanding this. So I'm like, to me, it just doesn't make sense. Because again, what we're looking at is, what I've done was I've been able to understand what they're teaching across the board, and I can show you what wealthy people are teaching their children. Wealthy people are not taking their children down to the banks and opening up savings accounts. They're not. They're not. Because remember, wealthy people have their children and their money in a trust account, which is something totally different. You see? So now, what I'm saying is that this, these are the things that wealthy people are teaching, what we do in Sunday school, and what we do is we learn from the wealthy people, and sometimes I think about Booker T. Washington, which is one of my idols, is that we have to pretend sometimes and not let them know what we're doing.
Yep.
So we learn what we can, and then we come back, and it's like, oh, Laquanya, oh, Maurice, oh, Taliba, let me show you what these wealthy people taught me. Okay, now let's implement that. See what I'm saying? So now it's like, well, okay, you're not supposed to be teaching that. It's okay. Someone said, Harriet. Harriet was out there, and she was like, listen, you're going to get this or you're not.
Yep, that's it.
You're going to get this or you're not.
We focus on who want it, not who don't.
That, and that's what we do. So, and I say that in essence because we sit at the table of people who are teaching us this information, and we come back and we bring it back. I know people who sit at the table and will not bring it back to you. Or they will charge you $5,000 for a class.
Yep.
Do you see what I'm saying? What we do is we bring it back to you at a minimum cost, a free or minimum cost.
Of $20
an
invite once a year.
$20,000. Yeah. So this is what we do when it comes to financial literacy. Understand.
Okay. Any last questions before we wrap up? Okay.
Well, I just want to say, thank you so much. I just want to say that, I chatted with a few people, and everyone is just ecstatic about today. They are just overwhelmed. You know, we've been through COVID, and we've been doing the Sunday school, Zoom, and it's good to see the faces, because the thing is that I know the names, and a lot of people, I mean, I know Taliba, of course I know Mr. Charles Clark and Mr. Kwanya, but the rest of y'all, it's just like, when you put the name to the face, like, oh, that's who said that, and it's just a great feeling, and everyone is just, they're just ecstatic. They are happy to see each other, they're looking forward to the future, because they know that they have two strong people that are ahead of the table, that are going to hold a torch and, you know, guide us forward to the future. And, the bottom line is financial freedom. That's, I was talking to Taliba about that earlier, and that's the whole thing, and that's what it's about. But we thank you. We thank you, and happy anniversary.
social media, how can we reach all of you?
So I'm q.is.queen on Instagram, and then also we are the Sunday School Experience on Instagram.
And
our email is the Sunday School Experience at gmail.com, and our YouTube page is the Sunday School Experience.
Make sure you subscribe.
So for everybody else, how can we reach you? Social media, everything.
My YouTube channel is Brooklyn Jewels, and it can be you can reach me there. I guess.
What's your YouTube?
Brooklyn Jewels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Jewels.
Okay. All right. Just need YouTube information, then we wrapped up.
Yeah. I could be reached at Talib Daisley L, Talib TALIB, Daisley DAISLEYEL on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And my Gmail is George7182000@gmail.com.
Okay. And there you have it. TC, any last words? Claire, any last words?
I'm definitely really excited for this segment. I was really excited for the segment, you know, financial education, financial literacy is something that our community really needs because, you know, like I was saying before, like, they teach you how to make money, but they don't, they don't really teach you about freedom, right? Like, how can we be able to increase our network without exchanging our time for money? You know what I mean? And that's something that's, like, really difficult to learn, and I'm really excited that I was really a part of this segment today. Yeah.
All right. That's
necessary.
It.
Yes, very necessary.
And that is it. Just close it out.